Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update comes from One Bills Drive. The NFL draft starts tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Rounds 2 and 3 are Friday night, 7 o'clock. Saturday, 12 noon, the rest of the draft. Thanks to trades and deals the Bills have made over the last few years, they have a total of 10 selections in this draft, one in each of the seven rounds, extra picks in the fourth, fifth, and seventh rounds. The most selections the team has had since 2008. They had 10 picks that year. Bills had 12 selections in the 2001 draft. NFL draft, round one, starts tomorrow at 8 o'clock. The sports books in Las Vegas say Kyler Murray is still the favorite to be the number one overall pick in tomorrow night's draft, but his odds are dropping. Ohio State defensive end Nick Bosa is next, followed by Alabama defensive end Quinnen Williams. The odds on Murray being the first overall pick have shifted wildly over the last few months as bookmakers try to keep up with the latest news and all the mock drafts. Ben Roethlisberger has a new contract extension. Steelers gave him a new two-year extension to go along with the 1 year he had left on his current deal, so he's now tied to the Steelers through the 2021 season. Roethlisberger turned 37 years old on March 2nd. He had 1 year left on his contract. With Le'Veon Bell leaving in free agency and Antonio Brown forcing a trade, Roethlisberger is desperately needed to help Pittsburgh get past the drama and get back into the winner's circle. Marshawn Lynch is not planning to play football again, according to ESPN. Lynch has announced that he is 33 years old. He plans to move on with the rest of his life. His stint with the Raiders with highs and lows, but he was always entertaining. Last year tied for fifth in the AFC with 331 rushing yards. Hockey playoffs tonight, another Game 7, this one in the East. Game 7 between Carolina and Washington. The Caps have the home ice, 7:30 faceoff tonight in the Eastern Conference. Big Game 7 last night, a 5-4 overtime win by San Jose over Las Vegas, and a controversial win thanks to a penalty that produced four power play goals by the San Jose Sharks. And the Bisons come up winners today in Syracuse. They win it 5-4, finish up the series in Syracuse tomorrow. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, joined by our friend, our buddy, and the draft expert extraordinaire in all of Western New York. Happy to have Joe Biscaglia, draft expert, sports director, WKBW-TV, Channel 7, in studio with us. Hello, Joe. Welcome back.
Oh, my goodness. What a week it is.
It's been great. And you got work to do this week, including tomorrow night. Tell us about the pre-draft special that's on Channel 7.
Yeah, we're doing one of the many telecasts on the NFL draft on 7ABC starting at 8 o'clock. And leading up, myself, Matt Bovee, Jenna Caleri, the sports team, we're going to be live outside of the stadium and just going through all of the different variables that could happen with the Bills at 9th overall, some of the names that are out there, things of that nature. Matt Bovee has a feature with both Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds about their draft experience and how they went through it, now looking at it from the outside looking in. Jenna Caleri's going to be catching up with a bunch of the UB guys that are going to be looking to get drafted. So it's going to be fun. And obviously it leads up to the big, big event at 8 o'clock because I can't believe it's tomorrow. I'm a little forlorn that it's tomorrow.
I'm sad it's over.
I'm very sad it's over. I know you're probably happy that it's finally going to be done.
I like the draft. I'm excited about
it. It's awesome. Thinking about all the possibilities. I mean, it's the reason why people watch reality TV. I mean, all about drama, all these different rumors that are floating around. I love it.
I love it, too. I love the draft. And we're going to get into your mock draft and your thoughts about the first round in a minute. But the only thing that bothers me about the draft is when it goes on and on, the coverage, we get to this past week, maybe 2 weeks, and all the misinformation.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, the lying that's out there. Mm-hmm. People just put out lies to deceive people, to enhance somebody's value, lower somebody's value.
Yeah,
it's like sabotage too. Yeah. I mean, it's just out and out sabotage for some of these picks for whatever reason.
I mean, intrinsically, this is a big game of poker, right? I mean, this is just one little exercise from GMs to try and deceive one another, and a lot of the times you'll end up with some of the information that gets put out there. It ends up charring the some of the prospects out there, and it impacts their draft stock. So that part of it is not so great, but trying to sift through all the information, Yeah, that's my cup of tea. I'm big into that. I love putting together like logic puzzles, stuff like that, like the scheduled day. I love the scheduled day because it's just, you know, trying to piece it all together. Yeah, the draft is just that to a grand degree.
Right. You have your final mock draft tomorrow.
Yes, it'll be tomorrow afternoon. I still haven't settled. Right. I think about this stuff an unhealthy amount. You can ask anybody that knows me outside of the walls of One Bills Tribe.
You're not married, right?
No, but I have a...
The two might be related.
I'm a wonderful girlfriend of 4 years, and she supports my... My habit.
I can see why too, because it's fun because you go through all these scenarios and these choices and these evaluations and the possibilities, and it's conjecture. Most of the conjecture, and I said this in the early part of the show, the information that teams do not want out is what is how they value the players.
Right.
They don't want anybody to know how much they think of each player, because then it can be used against them. They can, you know, for a seventh round pick, you dangle a seventh round pick out there, this team would jump at that. Mm-hmm. That team over there would not. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know where they value these players, you can maximize it and use it to your advantage.
Yep.
That's the fun part. But the rewarding part is, on Saturday night, you have all the answers. And you can say, oh, I see, you know, and you learn from it. And you say, oh, I get this, and here's what they were thinking, and what were they doing here? And sometimes it takes some thought to figure it out after the fact.
Well, and it also takes 2 to 3 years to figure out if anyone got it right.
That's right.
So, I mean, but that's why the draft is fun, because it's such an optimistic environment for fans. It's why they like it, because inevitably, unless you draft some of the Twitter no-no names, then fans will think they got better that day, and which is why it's such an addicting event, which is why it's so grandiose these days.
Joe Biscotti is with us. Joe B. from Channel 7. We're talking about the draft. You can join us. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Got a mock draft coming out tomorrow, Joe, on WKBW.com. Your last mock draft was last Friday, right?
Monday.
This past Monday.
Yeah.
What the heck changed from Monday to Thursday? Why did you have to have another one?
I'm telling you. I mean, through the weekend, so many different rumors. Are you kidding?
Rumors.
So how do you change it? What are you thinking of when you
change
your mock draft?
Well, it's just different variations of what could happen within the top five and how that leads down. And Oakland is the complete wild card in this whole situation. I mean, I could see him going at Oliver. At fourth overall, I could see them taking Devin White, the linebacker from LSU. I don't know if Josh Allen is going to be their guy, the Kentucky edge rusher. But the one thing that's kind of sticking in my mind, and I don't know why, just can't get it out of it, they are operating a lot in the same way that, let's say, Jacksonville did ahead of drafting Blake Bortles, and Chicago did ahead of drafting Mitchell Trubisky, when they just... we're not linked to these quarterbacks whatsoever. Everyone in pre-draft thought defense, 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 defense. But, you know, Oakland still in need of a quarterback. They could walk away from Derek Carr, who they have been kind of waffling on publicly. Drew Lock.
I think that's crazy.
It could be crazy.
Steve wants to jump you about
it. It could be crazy.
Why do they need a quarterback?
But tell me tell me it's the craziest thing you've ever heard for a draft.
No, it's just one in a long line of stupid things you see. There's no way that the Oakland Raiders can come out of this draft and at four overall take a quarterback that's going to play better than Derek Carr is going to play. And that could set them back at a minimum 5 years.
But that's your evaluation of Derek Carr. They might not feel as strongly about him.
Yeah, the evaluation of a quarterback that's already gone 12-4 in the NFL against a guy like Drew Lock, who even the guy sitting next to me, Murph, said he didn't even deserve to be at this Senior Bowl. He stinks. So you've got that evaluation along with some others, and you're telling me an organization like the Raiders, with all that they've done, and as bad as they were picking fourth overall with three first-round draft picks to come, they're going to take a quarterback to replace a guy who's already proved that a lot of teams would love to get their hands on. And I'll tell you this. They may trade Derek Carr.
3 years ago.
They may trade Derek Carr. I mean, 3 years ago under another head coach.
What are you going to get for Derek Carr with his contract, though? I mean, are you going to get a fourth-round pick? Is it going to be worth it to you? I mean, there needs to be some light at the end of the Khalil Mack deal worth? Khalil Mack and Derek Carr are two different echelons of prospects here. Derek Carr is far removed from his best season. He has struggled very much so over the last couple of years. And remember, he was not drafted into the John Gruden era. John Gruden got along with him. It's just, I don't think they'll do it at four, but I would not rule it out. It's sticking in my mind. And there's also the possibility, because they have 24, 27, 35.
Right.
They can package a couple of those picks, get back in the top 10, and say, hey, we're going to get our quarterback that way, too.
Joe, you've seen it. We've seen it. The Raiders are, in some places, linked to Kyler Murray.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. What,
right.
First of all, what
he ain't
going to
be there.
Well, what do you think? It's going Kyler Murray number one?
I think so.
Okay. Do you think Arizona, what would it take to get Arizona out? Would it take the Raiders draft three first-rounders?
The Raiders have four picks in the first 35.
Right.
They have ammunition.
They've got the bullets to get it done, yeah. No question. But if they – does Kyler Murray strike you as a John Gruden quarterback?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'll tell you who does. Drew Lock.
Well, you can get him.
You can get Drew Lock at 35.
No, you can't. He will be gone within the first 15 picks.
Well, that gets me to the second part of this question, and it always, as usual, comes down to quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. How do we go from maybe two first-round quarterbacks to now people talking about five, including Drew Lock and Daniel Jones from Duke? And as Steve mentioned, I saw both of them at the Senior Bowl, and they were both like, meh.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see much there, and that's only one impression, but – How do they become top 10 picks, Daniel Jones, Drew Lock?
Well, I think Drew Lock's the opinion on him has been high ever since last year, this time around the draft, and he didn't do necessarily anything to disappoint through his season. There are some teams that are probably going to be pretty high on him. And
is he one of those big, tall, big, strong, like a Josh Allen type?
No, he's not. He's got a really strong arm, but he's not that type of big prototype sort of guy.
He's 6'5".
He is that. The arm strength just isn't there as much. But still, he's got.
And he's not an athlete. He doesn't run like Josh.
He can a little bit, but it's more about the rush to get quarterbacks, obviously, because that's how the NFL is these days. And honestly, I think the opinion of Drew Lock, who has gotten little to no buzz whatsoever throughout this draft cycle, he's going to be a first-rounder, Murph.
I see that now.
He's going to be a first-rounder, and I would not be shocked if he is a top-10 pick. And I'm not that's what
it.
I'm saying.
Yeah, quarterbacks do that to people.
The Raiders – I mean, look at all the decisions the Raiders have made. You're telling me it's beyond them to take Drew Lock at four?
No, I'm not telling you that. They're crazy. Right. Daniel Jones from Duke.
Yeah.
How did he wind – he's in your top-10.
Cutcliffe guy. Yeah,
Giants? There's a lot of cuts. No, Giants. What do you have? 15? What do you have?
Oh,
I think
the Giants.
Five or 17? I think that's his spot, the Giants.
6 or 17?
Either 6 or 17. Probably 17, just because.
6, you got him in your last one.
Yeah.
If you're going to take him at 17, why not take him at 6?
Why is he the Giants?
I agree with you there.
Why is he the Giants guy? What happened there?
Well, I haven't done much work on the quarterbacks for obvious reasons,
right,
because the Bills aren't going to take one in the first three rounds, maybe not even the first five rounds. But the linkings to Peyton Manning and being the same understudy of Peyton Manning's coach from college, Cutcliffe, and he actually understands the game from that perspective. He has he's been compared to Ryan Tannehill, which is not great, but still, Ryan Tannehill was a first round pick,
yeah,
and was a starter for 7 years, even though he made Miami fans cry for the last three or four.
Yeah.
People were getting a lot of mileage out of that Cutcliffe thing for several years now.
I know.
And I don't know. I know he's a great coach. But who am I thinking? The Bills quarterback from Duke that started for a while.
Talking about Thad Lewis?
Yes. He was a Cutcliffe. Yes. Great guy, by the way.
Were you looking that up just
now? Yes. Thad Lewis, great guy. Love that guy.
Oh, gosh.
He was a Cutcliffe guy and really could not play quarterback in the league. But he was a Cutcliffe guy.
Yeah.
Sitting in the middle of this conversation, the draft is a rabbit hole. It is a rabbit hole.
Welcome to my life, Steve.
And I'm telling you, we are way in over our heads deep down. We'll get this quarterback stuff and where they're going to go. And you're right, and we all see it. And one of there's not too many surefire things, but the one surefire thing that has always been true is quarterbacks go higher than you think they should.
Yep.
Because the position is too important and the need is too great to pass up a guy who could, with one alteration of his game, become a great quarterback, mm-hmm, a winning quarterback.
Exactly.
So these quarterbacks that you're mentioning, the ones that, you know, they evaluate, it's funny because the Senior Bowl, the Combine, they all get drafted, rated where they should fall. And then they put the QB behind their name, mm-hmm, and that all goes out the window.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just say Oakland doesn't take a quarterback at four. Then team like Washington goes, hey, Tampa, what it'll take to get to five? We're going to take our guy. And then Oakland's sitting there going, oh, what did we do? Not taking our quarterback at four. So that's why if they feel strongly about one of these three quarterbacks that are going to be there, either Drew Lock, Dwayne Haskins, or Daniel Jones, then that's where that it might be within the realm of possibilities that they take one of those guys at four. I'm not ruling it out. They sent home all the scouts. Like they want the people around the decision to be two, Gruden right. and Mayock. You tell me that right. secrecy doesn't tip something off.
We've here? we've had this conversation earlier in the show, and the reason they do that is they don't want anybody to know who they like.
True.
Nobody can know who you like in the room.
They also haven't been linked to quarterbacks at all.
That's right. And
at four anyway.
Well, I mean, everybody's talking. I mean, we're talking about it.
Right.
So,
well, I'm just trying to think.
I mean, whatever smokescreen they think they're throwing at you is John Gruden's reputation is that he's going to be the offensive coordinator. He's going to do it. And when his time in Tampa Bay, mm-hmm. he churned quarterbacks through there like a tree grinder.
True. It's also a different era of the NFL.
He's been out of it for 10 years. He may still think it's the same era.
If he uses a fax machine, he might. and he did say that a couple of times ago. Yeah. Do you use a fax machine still?
No, I don't know. No.
I'm just messing with you.
I do not.
But
I know what they are, but I do not. It's like a little bit like DVDs. I know what they are, but I still don't. I don't use them.
But from a Bills perspective, if they are able to see two to three quarterbacks go in the top nine.
That's great, goodness, that is
the best news ever for the Bills.
Because then they have a shot. Five. They turn into a top five pick.
They have a shot at Ed Oliver at that point, which I think is probably the top.
They might have a shot at Josh Allen.
You think they would like Josh Allen more than Ed Oliver?
Or Quinnen Williams.
See, Quinnen Williams and Ed Oliver, I think, are kind of along the same plane here. Obviously, Quinnen has the better size and the better stature right. for the more prototype, but they absolutely covet that interior pass rushing three technique defensive tackle, and they don't have it on their roster.
What's your thought about the other kid, Christian Wilkins?
See, I like him. I don't love him in comparison to the other two. I wonder if he would be in play for that ninth overall spot just because they don't have anything there. But I also don't feel like they should be in a position where they have to force a position. And because, you know, we're talking about these, excuse me, these three guys in terms of the first round, but if they miss out on a defensive tackle in the first three rounds, you know what they could do? They can go send a fifth-round pick to Tampa Bay for Gerald McCoy, and there's your starter.
Yeah, well, they may do both.
They have the cap room. They're not going to use all 10 picks, I don't think. They have flexibility there.
The reason I think this Christian Wilkins is a kid that the Bills like is because when we heard – a guy who knows him and scouted him, he said the guy's an extremely intelligent player.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely, he's a good leader. He's one of those guys, a stand-up player, and he's got an incredibly fast motor.
Steve, let me read it to you. It was Dan Shanka who actually mocked him to the Bills. Dan Shanka mocked Christian Wilkins to the Bills, and his quote was, "Here's a guy who's super smart, a four-year guy, he's blue-collar, hardworking. The guy is just a tremendous hard worker on the field, a great human being. You can't go wrong. The guy will give it to you every single down like Kyle Williams. Plus, he's versatile. He's smart and a great football player." Mm-hmm. And that's great. That's great praise. But, you know, this is my particular bias. When somebody talks about how hard a first-round pick works, I start thinking maybe he's not enough of an athlete to be in the first round. And that's why he's focused on his hard work and his smarts, which are all good characteristics.
I mean, he does really flash against and gets into the backfield and disrupts some things back there. I mean, the reason why a lot of people out there love him, that just love that see him on a cursory level, is because the Alabama game, the second half, he was phenomenal, and you have to give him that. But there's also other games where he kind of disappears a little bit on you. And Wilkins, the other thing you have to factor is he is going to be 24 by this time next year, and that's a bit old for a draft pick, specifically a top 10 pick. The other part of this that you have to consider, especially in whether or not you take Christian Wilkins versus, say, I don't know, Jonah Williams or Andre Dillard.
Right.
Let's bring up those two because they're left tackles by trade, and that's an area that maybe the Bills could address.
Right.
Those two players, after them, there is a huge drop-off in terms of what you can get at left tackle in this draft. I think the guy that would be the next closest that you could conceivably put over a left tackle would be Titus Howard, and he's probably a late first, early second guy. And then after him, like all of this, it's right tackle heavy. If they're looking for a right tackle, so be it, but I don't think they are. I think they're looking for a left tackle. And then you add this on top of it. The Senior Bowl executive director, Jim Nagy, who does a fantastic job there, really keeps kind of like pulls back the curtain on the Senior Bowl down there. He tweeted the other day, he's like, hey, almost finished our board for 2020. Kind of lean on offensive line next year. So the smart teams this year will draft offensive line early, which if the Bills don't have an eye on what's happening in 2020, potentially, I mean, they're not doing themselves the right service. So that all adds to the situation as well.
Joe Piscotty is with us. Joe B. from Channel 7, draft expert, sports director at Channel 7. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. In fact, Joe, in the last mock draft, you have one coming up tomorrow in the second round. You have Titus Howard, the offensive lineman from Alabama State, going to the Bills in the second round.
Yeah, I like him a lot because of the potential to unearth him. I think he might get drafted a lot higher than that, though.
Really?
I think there's a chance he goes late first, and just because you look at him. Do you know his story at all?
What his background? He transferred from somewhere, didn't he?
He was a run scheme quarterback in high school. He was 225 pounds. He walked on, I think, to Alabama State originally as a tight end. He ran their scout team that year. And then the next year, he became an offensive tackle. And he put on 100 pounds between then and where he is now. He's now 322 pounds. He's built really well. It's not bad weight. It's good weight.
Right.
And when you watch him play, the way his feet move make you go, oh, that could be something. And he's got the long arms. I mean, he played right tackle at Alabama State, but when you have those traits, this is a very the word that came up, I think the guys at the Draft Network termed this toolsy. When you have a very toolsy player like Titus Howard, then
that's a bad word.
I know. teams are going to draft that player earlier than you think. But I also think if he was on the board at 40 and the Bills don't take one in the first round, he would very much be their cup of tea.
Titus Howard, the overriding impression I have from him, and again, this is just me, Senior Bowl, he was getting chewed up and spit out by Montez Sweat. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about Montez Sweat, who's declining in the draft because of health issues. And I want to talk about DK Metcalf. They're both kind of dropping like stones right now. Talk about those two, if you would, please.
I think with Sweat, it really all depends on the team. But I also think it's part of it that the defensive end group, you have that top tier, which is Josh Allen and maybe Brian Burns. And I'm not exactly sold on that. And then from there, it just kind of who's next in that capacity? Rashawn Gary, he's got the labral issue in his shoulder. Hello, Shaq Lawson. Right. I mean, it's the same situation. Montez Sweat, who has the heart condition that he got flagged for it at the NFL Combine. Who am I forgetting here? Ja'Kai Polite from Florida, who might not be a first-round pick.
Terrible combine, right?
Yep, Cleveland Farrell. I mean, he's kind of a fringe first round guy. But when you have the depth of that, where you see late round, early second, third is the strong part of it, teams are going to feel like they can wait on that position, which is why I think Montez Sweat, that combined with the issues with him, it could have him going late first round. I wouldn't even rule out him being on the board in the second round. And I think it would be an extreme case if he's on the board at 40, but I'm not ruling that out either.
Tell me about your thoughts on Metcalf and why his stock is really precipitously dropped.
Are you familiar with Zoolander at all?
Yes.
Okay. He's not an ambi-turner. Just kidding. He can run straight routes really well, and he does it very proficiently, and he's awesome at that. Go routes, come back. So.
You're talking about his Wunderlich?
No.
What are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about the fact that it looks like his feet are in mud a little bit when he's trying to make a cut inside.
Right, okay. Coach him. Develop him.
That's what
make him better.
Agreed, which is why he needs to find the technical aspect of route running a bit better, because if you run three routes of the route tree well and the other ones just aren't and you can't get separation on those other ones, not to say he can't, but not often.
Yeah, not good enough.
Why are you taking a flyer on him in the top 10?
So the problem is, and it's weird, and this is what you run into when you're scouting players. He's off the charts physically in some areas, and he's subpar, sub acceptable in other aspects. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, he can outrun everybody on the field, but he can't run an out route to beat an offensive tackle in coverage, right?
I mean, that's, that's
basically what you're saying. You exaggerate to make the point. The problem is he can do one or two things really good, but there's some stuff he can't do at all.
Right.
And that's a problem.
So he, in terms of his athleticism, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen this. This website that does a great job of this, comparing players to players of old, mockdraftable.com. They do a spider graph of everything. And DK Metcalf is in the 81st and up percentile in every single category, but is in, let me get this right, the third percentile or lower in the 20-yard shuttle in the three-cone drill, which means the change of direction. No, compared to like the last 20 years.
Well, I'm sorry, what was that last metric?
The third to second percentile, meaning he's one of the worst ever at wide receiver in three-cone and 20-yard shuttle. So it's the change of direction stuff that kind of bogs him down, which is why you still want to take a shot at him in the late first round, early second. But I think the hype on him from the combine was a little bit inflated of what his draft stock actually is. And I think we're back to where it should be.
I'm a victim of that for sure. I want to take one call for you here in this segment, Joey. Can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Caller wants to ask you about Christian Wilkins, and we were just talking about him, so I'll let Jim in Rochester on the air with us now. Jim, you had a question about Wilkins from Clemson.
Yeah, Murph. Actually, I wanted to talk about tanking if you guys are up for it.
Deep cut there.
Remember that fight? That was a good one.
Oh, that was great.
Where were you, Steve? Were you in Africa then? Joe and I got into it. Throwing
punches.
Oh,
my gosh, yeah.
Go ahead. What do you got, Jim?
Anyway, yeah, I was looking at Christian Wilkins. The paragraph you read right there, it sounds definitely like a McDermott type. And another thing is the guy got 2 degrees in 4 years, and he was a three-time All-American. So I still like Ed Oliver better, but I'm doubting he's going to be there. So I would go with Christian if he's not there, and if they're both not, because I've seen – where Jacksonville is into him too, or the Lions. Hockenson, if both of them are gone. But I just wanted to see the second round is where I was looking at, and that's where I think there's at least three receivers that potentially be there: Paris Campbell, N'Keal Harry, and Hakeem Butler. I wanted to see what you think about those three.
Can we, before we get to that, can we take a break here? I don't want to get too bogged down here.
Absolutely. I love that question.
Good question. Thanks for calling, Jim. I do want to say you had Wilkins at 21 in your last mock draft.
Yeah, he'll be higher than that in the final one. I can guarantee you that. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
A break here. Joe's back with another segment. Come on back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Day before the draft, we got a couple of minutes left with our man Joe B. Joe Biscaglia from WKBW TV Channel 7 here in Buffalo, sports director there. Going through the draft, his specialty. He's got a mock draft that went up Monday, you said.
That's right.
And in that draft, at number 9, you have the Bills going with tight end TJ Hockenson. Yeah. We have a caller on the line who wants to ask you about the tight end class. Josh in Perry, New York. Go ahead, Josh.
Hi. I wasn't actually going to ask him anything. I was just going to make a statement. After the first three tight ends, I really don't care for this class, and I think that my thoughts for Bills brass would be just stay away. It's okay if you don't get that, but get other talent on the board. Don't just get a guy to get a guy. There's a lot of people that are trying to be cute and give us Dawson Knox or somebody like that in the third or fourth round. I don't like them. Ask yourself, is this guy better than Nick O'Leary, who we cut, or Jason Kroom, who's really not a true tight end because he doesn't really block. So I don't know if you want to piggyback off of that.
Yeah, okay. No, Joe, sure. Can you go four deep in the tight end class? I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at all of them.
Of course I can.
I kind of agree with his assertion on Dawson Knox. I'm not as crazy about him as some people are. I did like Sternberger. I think he still needs to do some better things from the blocking perspective, but I like his athleticism. I like Josh Oliver. He might be more of a fourth-round guy. Kahale Waring is going to get drafted in the late second round, perhaps. But I think a couple of guys that I really like for the Bills, if they don't take one, if they don't take Hockenson at in the first round, I like Trevon Wesco. he's a just a nasty blocking tight end, and they don't really have that on their roster right now. Like him, maybe like fifth round or so, and Foster Moreau out of LSU. Those are two guys who excel in the blocking realm, and I think Moreau will give you a little bit more from a receiving perspective. But I mean, those are two guys. I think the Bills had Wesco in for a visit reportedly, so that could be someone to look out for.
Tell us why you mocked up Hockenson to Buffalo at 9.
Well, it's the way the board fell, certainly. Ed Oliver was gone. Jonah Williams was gone. Josh Allen is gone. And in that case, I'll tell you what, I go back and forth if that's the way it goes down about whether or not it's going to be Hockenson compared to, say, Andre Dillard. I mean, Hockenson is something that the Bills have not invested in over 35 years.
Can I stop you there? I've said this.
He's gone on and on.
I get that. By the way, you're right. Yeah. They haven't.
Joe B., that's a dollar fine. You can't bring that up.
Who cares? We're not trying to solve every slight or every failure of the franchise for 35 years. You're trying to get better.
No, I don't think.
Who cares if they haven't had a tight end, premium tight end?
You're
not trying to solve, you know, the 1980s problems.
You are right, but in today's NFL, if you want to succeed on offense, having a great tight end is a way to get there, and someone who can have a multi. Be a three down guy.
You are right about that.
That's what TJ Hockenson is.
That's a bad justification for it. They should draft Hockenson because they've never had a premium tight end. Who cares? We're not trying to fix everything in the last 25 years.
That's not the justification, though.
That's what you started with.
Okay, well, it's just a little point to the broader point.
Okay, get to the broader.
Are we going to talk about tanks right now? I'm just kidding. I can't even laugh.
I'm gonna go get a burger.
What I like about Hockenson is where he is right now in his development. He is so advanced as a blocker, and you can, if you draft him at 9, immediately
he's your number one tight end.
You can put him into the starting lineup and then have him pair with Tyler Croft and do some unique things, because Hockenson also brings you quite a bit in the receiving realm as well. I mean, he knows how to uncover himself against the zone and find those weak spots, and he deceives the defenders as well. Good yards after catch. I mean, his ability to be strong and fight through tackles.
Let me ask you this now.
It's all there.
I like him.
I do too. He's the best tight end of this draft.
I agree. Yeah. For what the Bills are looking for, yes.
By a large margin, because he's a three down guy and he's got the skills in the running game that most college tight ends don't have. My question is this: is he a generational player at this level, or is he a good player that could be?
Do you know that
really
about any
good
of these players, though?
That's my point exactly. I mean, here's the thing: some of these guys come out and they are going to be generational players. You look at a guy like Saquon Barkley. You look, you know, guys like that are going to be generational players. You get top of the draft like John Elways. You go back in the draft. There are guys who are generational, and you're like, that's a guy that's there for a decade. Is he going to be an NFL tight end for 12 years? Probably.
I mean, to be determined. But
he might be.
Yeah, he's got all.
If he stays healthy,
he's got all the potential to do that. But the counter argument to that is, I know the caller we had on wasn't crazy about the depth of the tight end class, but that's not the general consensus around, you know, scouting community, everything. That the depth of this class is in the third, fourth, fifth round, you can find some players that can contribute to your team. And in the third round, you can find somebody with a little bit of potential that could develop into something. You know, no safe bet. Usually those guys are role players, and if they become starters, great. Awesome.
Right.
Good drafting. But it also leads into, if you like that depth, then if you have Hockenson graded on a similar plane to Andre Dillard, because the left tackle depth is not there, it might be better off to
you
got to
go Dillard, because you're not going to be able to get a suitable,
right?
Even though it's
in
less
this draft,
a lesser,
or maybe even the next one,
a lesser guy at that position that in the later rounds. Yeah, right. You can get another tight end. You can get Noah Fant or Irv Smith or Sternberger or Knox, but you can't get another left tackle, right tackle guy to the quality.
That would be the justification for taking Dillard over Hockenson.
It's a thinner class.
Sure. Yep. Dillard, Jonah Williams, the top two. Who's next on the tackle class? And you said he's far down. Right?
I mean, Juwan Taylor is a tackle, but he's a right tackle by trade. I think if the Bills were to make a move on an offensive lineman, it would be for a left tackle. That's just my read on it. They signed Ty Nsekhe, and I know he's 33, but they did give him a solid amount of money. I think he'll end up being the starting right tackle.
Short deal, though. 1 year?
Yeah, 2 years, I think.
Where are you going with Deion?
Guard. Left guard.
You're going to kick him in 3 feet to guard and put Jonah Williams or Jawan Taylor outside.
I think his potential to flourish on the inside is pretty solid.
For you, today, I mean, because I know this changes hour to hour, but at this moment, are you thinking the Bills go with the offensive tackle above, say, defensive tackle, or aside from the top three elites, Reg rushers or whatever the guy, you know, Quinnen Williams and that kind of thing, is tackle where you see the Bills going in this rather than tight end or one of the other positions?
I think if they had their druthers outside of the top guys that we're talking about, Bosa, Quinnen Williams. Outside of those guys.
Even Ed Oliver.
You're lumping Ed Oliver into this. Because if they have a chance to get Ed Oliver, I think they're going to try everything they can to do it. And that's where you kind of wonder, okay, well, what would it take to move up? And it's a fair question with the Bills because we saw Brandon Bean do it for Tremaine Edmonds last year.
They'll do it.
And they have draft ammo to do it. But you also have to sit there as an organization and say, okay, how much is too much to move up for one player, a non-quarterback player, mind you? And I think where you start to think about it is five with Tampa Bay if Oliver's there. But even then, they might want that second-round pick, and I think that's a non-starter because that's a starting player for you at 40th overall. So that's why if they're willing to accept a package of like a third, a fourth, and a fifth, do it. But I don't know that they would.
Do you believe in the Jimmy Johnson trade valuation chart?
I do. I agree with a couple of charts. I think you have to meld them together.
Because I think we put this together, right, Steve? If you take, the Bills two in the the back end of the draft, right? Those seven picks, two in the fourth, two in the fifth, one in the sixth, two in the seventh. Put it all together, and you might be able to move up a couple of spots from nine to seven.
Well, to seven is a lot easier. To five, I don't know that you can do it, and I don't know if Tampa Bay would want to do it unless they're getting that second-round pick.
Or you start dipping into next year's draft.
Right. Jacksonville is the sweet spot at seven for me. If Oliver is there somehow at seven, the Bills, I think they could probably induce a trade by saying, all right, here's 74, give us 109, which is the Jags' fourth-round pick, and maybe something from the Bills on the back end, like a sixth or a seventh-round pick or something like that. I think that could be music to the Jags' ears because, A, they get another day-two pick. B, they only move down two spots, and they know who Buffalo's going up to get. Might they push themselves out of the realm of T.J. Hockenson because Detroit might take him? Yeah, maybe. But they're probably going to get the top offensive lineman on the board in that case. So, and that's something they could use quite a lot as well.
Hey, Joe, before we let you go, I want to get you involved in today's Twitter poll. And we're trying to keep, don't go off the rails with this one. Because, I see some of the tweets that people send in. Look, here it is. It's basic. What Bills move would shock you the most tomorrow night, and we offer a couple of alternatives. What would shock you the most? On the Twitter poll, 37% of our respondents say a trade-up would shock them the most. 26% say the Bills trading picks for a player would shock them the most. 25% say drafting a cornerback would shock them the most, which surprises me. 12% have something else in mind. What about you? What would – and again – keep within the
realm. Within reason. So I can't say taking a quarterback.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I felt bad about taking a cornerback up there. But
of those three that are up there, I would probably say trade picks for a player.
Yeah, that would we were too.
Because it's unusual.
I mean, Bean believes so heavily in the draft that there's – I don't think he's going to sacrifice ninth overall for a player.
Like the
really
scenarios
don't.
Out there with Gerald McCoy in Tampa Bay, and you could probably get him for a fifth. And if you get down there and you didn't get your guy at the edge,
exactly.
The Bills throw in a fifth, maybe even a sixth, or a fifth and a seventh, and say, we'll take Gerald McCoy in his contract, and we got him.
Here's why that makes sense. He's got 3 years left on his deal. He's 31. I think his cap hit is 13 mil this year.
Bills have the cap room.
And the best part about it is there's no dead money on that contract. So if the Bills feel like it would benefit them to move on, then so be it.
They kick him to the curb and they're on the hook for the 13
million,
that's it.
Absolutely. Right. But it also brings in this element. He's a leader. And they lost a lot of leadership on the defensive side with Kyle Williams going. And so even though he's 31, even though his
– why is Tampa ready to – is this money?
See, I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe they're just trying to move on, but they have tried to distance themselves all offseason. Me neither. I think he's had at least six sacks over the last two seasons.
From D-tackle.
He's that three-technique guy. So if he gives you a similar level to what Kyle Williams did in his final year, which was a little bit less than what he was throughout his career, I think that's safe to say. But if he gives you that same level or a little bit higher, your defense is still humming from where it was last year. Then you get upgrades from Tremaine Edmonds being better this year, Matt Milano conceivably, maybe Levi Wallace.
You're saying he's a good dude? I mean, I don't know Gerald McCoy. Yeah, he seems like he's a stand-up guy.
He is a noted locker room leader down in Tampa Bay.
So this is Christmas Eve for you, right? You're going to make cookies tonight? And
yes, I'm probably not going to sleep.
Go to bed in your feety pajamas.
I might have the footy pajamas on, but sleep will not be happening. But I think I'm just going to be laying in bed going, okay, will Jacksonville move down from seven? Will L.A. give up a first round next year to go get Drew Locke?
Yeah. We love you, Joe.
Yeah, I'm here.
You got your final mock draft on WKBW.com tomorrow afternoon, you said?
You got it, yep.
And then the special again is 7:30
tomorrow. Special, and I just posted today at WKBW.com my 22 Bills-related draft thoughts heading in.
22?
You cut it down? It's a lot to unpack, and there are a lot of words in there, but if you love draft theory and draft strategy and being a nerd with this whole thing, I encourage the read. Not because I wrote it, because it's fun to think about that stuff.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for coming in.
Good seeing you, Joe.
Joe B., Joe Biscaglia, you're joining us. Steve and I coming back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. So what do we learn from today's show presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills? We had an interesting guest on at 12:30, John Steffenhagen from Rochester. His great-grandfather founded the Rochester Jeffersons, and in 1920, they were an original charter member of the National Football League. They will be honored Saturday when the Bills select their sixth pick in the draft right from Rochester, with the mayor of Rochester making the pick. John Steffenhagen talked about how the Rochester Jeffersons became an original NFL team.
In 1916, the Rochester Jeffersons were the state champions. And the 1917 season rolled around. The Canton Bulldogs were the biggest team with Jim Thorpe. And Leo wanted to get more notoriety for his team. So he contacted Jim Thorpe, booked a game with Jim Thorpe, and they played a game in 1917. They lost 41-0, but after the game, Jim Thorpe said, "We're going to be starting a league soon, a pro league. We'll contact you." So Leo kept in contact. In 1920, they met in the Hubmobile showroom.
There you go. He was in the Hubmobile in Canton, Ohio. Our thanks to John for joining us to talk about that. That's pretty cool. Hey, we want to remind you, the Bills and units are holding their annual blood drive May 4th right here at New Era Field. It is a week from Saturday. Every donor gets a pair of preseason tickets. The drive will take place at the Dunn Tire Club. There'll be food trucks, inflatable activities, and fun for the whole family. To sign up, go to units.com. Every time I say that now, that promo, you're going to laugh?
Yes. without question.
Inflatable activities. Hey. Tomorrow's going to be fun. I can't wait for tomorrow, Steve.
It is. It's going to be an absolute blast. And it's going to be very unpredictable. I don't think there's any question. I don't know that you and I have our little the eight people we picked yesterday that think one of them is going to be the guy. It could be somebody completely off the wall. Mm-hmm. And that has happened, because I have rarely been able to get close to picking who the Bills are going to pick in the draft in any year, all the way back in the day. I just never know. And I'm sure this year is no different.
I agree. It's going to be fun. And Joe brings up, there's been buzzing and a little bit of rumor about Gerald McCoy. That could happen. He laid out some issues why that would be plausible for the Bills to maybe make a move like that, a trade like that.
Even attractive.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Maybe that happens before the draft. Anyway, we're on noon to 3 tomorrow, and then tomorrow night we're on the radio at 8 p.m. Make sure you join us tomorrow. Production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. See you tomorrow at noon, One Bills Live on Draft Day on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.